Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on, well, a really extraordinary journey into public health. We're looking at a specific case study from Chaharmahal and Bakhtiari province in Iran. Imagine a place where scientific research isn't just, you know, published and put on a shelf, but it actually actively transforms the health of an entire population. We're talking about tackling big chronic conditions like cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, diabetes.
Yeah, and what's truly insightful here, I think, is how this comprehensive approach worked. You know, combining that long-term scientific study with really strategic policy implementation, it just yielded such significant life-changing results. It's a powerful example of knowledge translation in action, really is.
Absolutely. And you've shared some powerful sources with us mapping out this whole journey, right from the initial idea, the vision, all the way to these, well, tangible outcomes you can measure. So our mission today is to kind of unpack that, find the underlying principles, maybe some surprising facts, look at the strategic moves, the dedication, what made this work, get ready for some aha moments about how health transformation can actually happen on the ground. Okay, so where does this story start? Not in a lab, actually, but with an individual. Our sources really highlight this driving force, Dr. Ali Ahmadi. He's been intensely focused on preventing cardiovascular disease since, get this, way back in 2001.
Wow, that's long-term commitment.
Isn't it? We even found a record from that year. He was responsible for combating non-communicable diseases back then. And there's this note about him presenting an award for implementing physical activities and promoting no smoking.
So right from the start.
Exactly. It just strikes me how deeply ingrained his belief and motivation must have been, you know?
Well, that kind of sustained personal commitment, it raises a crucial question, doesn't it? What happens when that drive meets a really strategic, evidence-based framework? And that convergence, it seems it really took shape around 2015.
Okay, what happened?
That's when they launched this large prospective cohort study on non-communicable diseases, right there in the province. Now, for listeners, prospective cohort study basically means they started tracking a large group of people over time. Over 10,000 individuals, actually.
10,000? That's massive.
It is. 10,075 participants, to be exact. They were careful to make it representative, about 70% urban, 30% rural, matching the province's population. They followed them to see how lifestyle, environment, all these factors impacted things like heart disease, diabetes developing over the years.
Right. So you get real-world data.
Exactly. And this incredibly rich data became the bedrock. It formed the basis for over 100 research projects, theses. Involved more than 200 faculty members, researchers, students. A huge collaborative effort built on that data.
Okay, so they've got this mountain of data, all this research. The crucial next step is, how do you turn that into something that actually changes lives? How do they bridge that gap?
That's where the Health Atlas comes in.
A Health Atlas? What's that exactly?
Think of it like a dynamic health roadmap for the entire province. They designed and compiled it based on all that research. It wasn't just a static report. It pinpointed specific areas, specific populations needing intervention. It got approved for its impact just recently, June 2025, guiding future strategies.
Okay, so it's like a strategic blueprint for action.
Precisely. And Dr. Ahmadi was the main investigator, with Dr. Somaya Javadi as the executor making it happen.
And how did they design the interventions themselves? Was it just experts deciding?
No, and this is key. It was participatory. They used what they called a cascade approach.
Cascade.
Yeah. Vital for tailoring things locally. They didn't just impose solutions from the top. First, two intensive two-day workshops. These were for the provincial and county managers, the experts.
Getting the leaders on board.
Right. Then those insights and plans waterfalled down into 12 more workshops held locally within the counties. This ensured that the interventions were relevant to the specific needs and contexts of each area. Real buy-in from the ground up.
That makes sense. And can you give us an example? One of the most striking interventions.
Absolutely. The community trial focused on reducing salt intake.
Salt. Always a tough one. What were the results?
Pretty remarkable. Our sources show the average daily salt intake dropped from about 4.4 grams.
Okay.
Down to just 2.1 grams per day.
Whoa, wait. From 4.4 to 2.1, they cut it by more than half.
Yeah.
How? I mean, if you told me a whole community could do that, I'd be skeptical. What was the secret? Just telling people isn't usually enough.
Well, exactly. And it wasn't just telling them. What's genuinely insightful here is they created this community-wide educational feedback loop. It was hyper-local, participatory education. They proved that targeted, data-backed campaigns, when the community's involved, can shift these ingrained behaviors. They directly linked reducing salt to better blood pressure using local data and community involvement.
Ah, I see. So it wasn't just abstract advice. It was, look, in our community, this is happening and this is what we can do.
Exactly. It's that aha moment about involving the community in designing and owning the solutions. That participatory element seems key.
Okay, let's talk about the overall impact then. Reducing salt is one thing, but the bigger picture.
The numbers are where it gets really interesting. The overall results are, well, phenomenal. Take cardiovascular disease risk assessment. It went from just 17.3% of the population being assessed.
Pretty low.
Right, to over 95%.
95%. That's almost everyone.
Huge increase in awareness and screening.
Yeah.
Then look at patients already diagnosed. For those with hypertension, a 60.3% increase in people achieving optimal or controlled blood pressure.
Okay, that's a big deal for preventing strokes, heart attack.
Massive. And similar story for type 2 diabetes. A 57.4% increase in patients with optimal or controlled blood sugar.
Wow.
And maybe the most striking number, overall mortality.
Yeah.
From all causes.
Yeah.
In the entire province's population, it decreased by 1%.
1% across a whole province. That might sound small, but in population terms, that's a lot of lives.
It's a huge societal impact, not just incremental change. It's transformation.
And the community trial itself, the salt one, did that show clear results too?
Oh, absolutely. The ripple effect is fascinating. In the group that got the salt reduction intervention, systolic blood pressure, that's the top number,
right,
dropped by 6.7%.
Yeah.
And diastolic, the bottom number, dropped by 9.5%.
Significant drops.
Very. But here's the kicker. The control group, the ones who didn't get the intervention, their blood pressure actually went up slightly over the same period. Systolic up 4.3%, diastolic up 1.4%.
But the intervention didn't just help. It prevented things from getting worse while the trend was going the other way.
Precisely. And remember that screening point. This wasn't just about treating existing cases. Screening for both high blood pressure and diabetes reached over 95% coverage in adults over 18.
Incredible cut.
These are substantial life-saving shifts.
And did this work get noticed? I mean, with results like these?
It certainly did. These profound gains didn't go unnoticed. Dr. Amati was recognized as a top speaker at the National Conference on Family Medicine. He shared their methods, the results compared to the previous year.
Spreading the knowledge.
Exactly. And the institution itself, Schrecker University of Medical Sciences, received a certificate of appreciation, selected as a top institution in the Provincial Performance Evaluation Festival. So yes, formal recognition followed the results.
Okay, so you get these amazing results, this recognition. The next big question is always sustainability. How do you make sure this isn't just a successful project that fades away? How do you embed it, make it stick, maybe even scale it?
Right. That transition from project to policy is critical.
And did they manage that?
Yes. Our sources show a very deliberate path to institutionalize it. They established an academic committee specifically for non-communicable disease prevention and control, based at the university.
Okay, giving it an official home.
Exactly. And Dr. Amati was appointed as its head. Mm-hmm. This provided that formal academic structure to really embed the changes and continue the work.
But committees can sometimes just be talk. How do they ensure action, political will, collaboration across different sectors? That's often the hard part.
It is. And this is where you see really robust knowledge translation. They took concrete steps, developed a comprehensive operational plan, got it formally approved by the provincial governorship, crucial for political backing.
Top level sign off.
Yes. And they actively attracted cross-sectoral partnerships for implementation. Health doesn't exist in a vacuum. Critically, they developed formal written agreements with managers across different levels and sectors.
Written agreements, like contracts.
Sort of. To ensure quality implementation, commitment to the plan. It sounds maybe a bit bureaucratic, but it built accountability. Everyone knew their role.
It does sound like a masterclass in getting everyone pulling in the same direction. Wow.
And they didn't just rely on formal structures. Communication was key.
How so?
They actively shared the knowledge. They created policy summaries, briefs, using findings from that big cohort study, sent them out in several rounds to health system managers, kept them informed with accessible data.
So not just academic papers, but practical summaries for decision makers.
Exactly. Plus, they shared their successes publicly at national festivals like one at Yazd University. It shows a real commitment to transparency and spreading good practice, not keeping it locked away.
This whole story, this deep dive, it really shows what's possible. You have this dedicated individual, Dr. Amati, backed by solid, long-term research, and then these really smart collaborative efforts. It's so inspiring, actually, that he wrote a book about it.
He did. It connects the dots between the personal and the professional. The book is called A Half-Century Journey, The Triumphs and Experiences of an Epidemiologist, published in February 2024.
A half-century journey.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is how his personal story really weaves through this public health success. The sources describe the book as an inspiring roadmap. It talks about his journey right from childhood all the way to becoming this distinguished university professor, a top 1% global researcher.
Wow.
And the themes are resilience, hope, teamwork, self-development. You can see how those personal qualities fuel the public health work. It's a good reminder, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That behind these big scientific achievements, there are often deeply human stories driving them.
Absolutely. So wrapping this up, what's the big takeaway for you, for our listener?
Well, for me, this deep dive into Chaharmahal and Bakhtiari isn't just a story about Iran. It's a powerful illustration, I think. It shows how consistent, evidence-based effort.
Yeah, that consistency is key.
Coupled with strong leadership, clear policy, and that deep community engagement we talked about, It really can fundamentally reshape public health outcomes. It's almost like a blueprint showing that these large-scale improvements, they aren't just wishful thinking. They are achievable, measurable, life-changing.
A blueprint for impact. I like that.
And maybe it leaves us with a question, a provocative thought, perhaps.
Yeah.
If this kind of comprehensive data-driven approach, sustained over years, can achieve such significant results, you know, reducing risk factors, even cutting mortality in one province, what broader implications does that hold for how we tackle public health challenges globally? Or maybe even, you know, closer to home, in your own community, how could these principles apply?
That is a powerful thought to chew on. What could we achieve if we applied these lessons more broadly? Lots to think about there. Until next time, keep digging for those insights.